Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Football Absurdity Podcast. This is the 34th edition of the Football Absurdity Podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco, and I'm here with my co-hosts Mike Valverde and Evan Hoovler. Today's date is May 24th, 2019, on a Friday evening before the Memorial Day weekend. Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
My whole family's sick, Jeff. Why'd you have to ask?
I love to rub it in. Mike, how are you doing on this Memorial Day weekend eve?
You know, I was doing pretty good. And then, you know, this crazy thing happened a couple nights ago. I was tapping my foot, and then all of a sudden I felt this excruciating pain. I looked down, and I saw that my nail, my big toenail, had split in half.
Oh, no.
So other than that, I'm doing all right.
Question, did it split vertically or horizontally? Are we talking a V situation, or did half your nail pop off?
It was horizontally. So
oh man, that is gonna be gross. That happened to me last summer. I dropped a cutting board on my toe. So
was that just spontaneous? Your body starts falling off?
Yeah, how did you do that? Were you just like tapping it and it just cracked?
You know, I was actually just tapping my toe. And the weird part, there was no music. It was just me fidgeting and tapping my toe, and all of a sudden I felt this little sharp pain, and I found out why a couple seconds later.
Good God, that's crazy. That's like I knew somebody who cracked their tooth on a sandwich. Nothing, just like there wasn't anything hard in the sandwich. It was just a regular sandwich, cracked their tooth. It's like Sometimes the human body just betrays you.
Yeah, it just rejects you. We don't like it anymore. Mike.
Yeah. So it's like I said, it's Memorial Day Eve. It's kind of starting to be the dark season of NFL football. We got some OTAs action going on. So it is Meltdown May, though. If you guys want to check out Twitter, Meltdown May is great. It seems like at the beginning of summer every year, things go crazy. Teresa May stepped down today. Curvy wife guy made a really bad tweet. It's a fun time on Twitter.com. Speaking of which, I am at Jeff Crisco on Twitter, K-R-I-S-K-O. Mike is at RFL Red Zone. And if you want to find Evan on Twitter, find him on Facebook, and he's Evan Hoovler over there. So we're going to go ahead and get started with my the newest thing that I have going for the podcast, the newest feature. It's called I Saw a Dumb Tweet Today, because, gentlemen, once again, I saw a dumb tweet today. Now, last time we did this, it was Chris Raybon, who is very much a somebody in the fantasy sports world. Today, this is from a nobody. This is just a guy who was going back and forth with the replies, and I happened to check it out. And it, he was talking about Kyler Murray's fantasy potential for 2019. So this guy's, since he's a nobody, I'm not going to call him out by name. But he says, he was saying that maybe Kyler Murray will pass the ball 800 times this year, which is not even the dumb tweet that he made. And everybody goes, you're insane. That's not going to happen. Nobody throws the ball 800 times. That's 50 pass attempts every single game. His arm will fall off. And so he goes, okay, so maybe he drops back 800 times per game. He says, Murray drops back roughly 800 times. How many of those he loses to sacks or scrambles? I can't say. Maybe 120 to 150. But regardless, dude has an incredible ceiling unless Kingsbury had a lobotomy and changes his coaching approach. So 800 dropbacks, gentlemen. That's 50
to 680 pass attempts.
Yeah, 650 to 680 pass attempts for a rookie quarterback with David Johnson on his team. So what I did is I saw this morning. This tweet is 9 hours old, and I thought about it all day. And when I got home from work, I ran some numbers. The record, so I went back to 2010, and the guy who had the most dropbacks was Peyton Manning in 2000. I'm sorry, it was Ben Roethlisberger last year. Peyton Manning had the most pass attempts. It was Ben Roethlisberger last year. He had 730 dropbacks, and I did dropbacks as pass attempts, rush attempts, and sacks combined. He had 730, and that's the most in the last decade. And maybe as a rookie, he's going to drop back 800 times. So maybe this isn't as dumb as last weekend, but it's still, think through your numbers when you say something, is I guess my takeaway.
It's dumb. Pittsburgh, so that was 650 to 680 passes. Pittsburgh was the only team who had over 650 passes last year as a team.
Yeah, and that's only, it's only been done 11 times in the last decade. So about one team a year. passes more than 650 times. And one of those, Matt Ryan had 651. So we're really cutting it close there.
Here's a weird stat while I'm in the, I was just looking up the attempts. Do you know what team, as a team, led the league in passing yards last year?
Was it the Arizona Hotshots of the AAF?
They were last.
Oh, they were last.
2,500. Wow, that's sad. It was Tampa Bay.
I believe it. I believe it. Mike, what do you think about that pass attempt?
I was actually going to go with Indianapolis, but Tampa Bay sounds just as viable, probably even more so, because look who they have in the backfield running the ball.
Yeah, that's true. When your options are sling it or give the ball to Peyton Barber, I think I know what I would choose 99 times out of 100. So that was my dumb tweet that I saw today. Just the takeaway from that is, if you're going to project something, really think about what you're saying, because 800 dropbacks is 50 dropbacks a game for a rookie. That's insane. So we'll move on now. Now that we've all talked about a dumb tweet I saw today, we have a little news and notes.
Still on the tweet. If he runs, say, five times per game, that means that on these numbers, he will be sacked 40 to 70 times.
Yeah. That, I mean, 70 sacks doesn't sound right to you?
He's not going to live. Like, there's no way I can make these numbers add up. Either he does it and dies week 8, or it's impossible. Like, even if he could somehow do that. Anyway, sorry, we can move on to news.
Carr was sacked, 80 times his rookie year?
Yeah, and we all know how well that worked out. But you don't think a 5'10", 207 guy can get sacked 70 times and not snap in half? You don't think that'll work out well for him?
Oh, he'll definitely break.
Oh, yeah, he'll snap in half. But before he snaps in half, it'll certainly be fun. Who's the backup there? Any guesses? What's that?
Cliff Kingsbury.
He's the backup. I'm going to guess for the 1,000th year in a row, it's like Kevin Cobb. It is, let's see. Evan, do you have a guess?
Clipboard Jesus, Charlie Whitehurst.
Oh, that would be nice. It's actually a guy who is suddenly a journeyman, Brett Hundley. Yeah, he had a ton of interceptions. Wasn't he with the Packers?
Packers,
and then he got traded to the Browns.
Almost lost to Cleveland in their own 16th season. They took him to overtime.
Nice. And then he was on the Seahawks last year, apparently. Huh. And now he's on the Cardinals.
He's
so,
seeing America.
Yeah. Hey, if you could get paid to see America, that's pretty nice. So, now that we've fully broken Evan's brain with the pass attempts thing, you
it's
can think
really broken.
You can really turn that one over. But we'll
brain is like Mike's toenail.
And Mike, is that toenail still attached or did it pop off?
No. The remaining part of it is still there. But yeah.
Hey, do you have any brothers or sisters? Completely as an aside.
I have one brother.
One brother.
Smooth segue.
One brother. What you can do is, when I drop the clipboard on my toe, is like once a week, I take a picture of it and send it to my little sister. So you can go ahead and do that to your brother.
Actually, on my other toe, that toenail pops off every once in a while.
Oh.
It's a long story, but it doesn't hurt. Okay. I don't want to gross people out there, but yeah, it does. So what I do is, when it pops off, I take a picture of it and send it to my brother.
There you go. See, brothers are the same everywhere.
Do you like put it in a bank, like a piggy bank?
I got little plastic baggies all around the house for treasure troves for whenever my wife gets bored.
Well, that's disgusting. Speaking of disgusting, Jason Witten's back in the NFL. He spent last year with ESPN, and he's back. He made a graceful exit, which I think we all agree was him basically agreeing to not be fired to save face. We all agree there because he was awful.
Yep.
Yeah. Mike, are you the resident Jason Witten stan? You a huge fan of Jason Witten on Monday Night Football?
You know, I'm a kind of the kind of guy that doesn't really pay attention to whatever those dudes talk. I sort of just concentrate on the game. So, I mean, I read a lot about how bad he was, and there was several upon several opinions about how bad he was. So I believe it. I just don't pay attention to them to give a firsthand acknowledgement towards that.
Yeah, I'm the same way, mostly because I usually watch it on my laptop on mute while my wife has the TV. So I don't really care to hear what they say, and I don't really hear it. But the reason I bring them up is our first news in the news and notes section is, according to the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, at OTAs, 37-year-old Jason Witten, who didn't play football last year, he's lost a step. So, Evan, I'll start this with you. My question, you know, we'll discuss this. My question to you is, are you surprised, and who cares?
Yeah, he's like 80. I've lost a step.
We've all lost a step.
And I don't care for fantasy purposes.
Yeah, he doesn't matter.
He can be in all those back at the, once it gets out past tight end three, I don't care.
Well, Mike, in your three tight end leagues, where are you taking Jason Witten?
Well, in the three tight end leagues that I'm in with the three tight ends, I don't mind taking Jason Witten as a backup tight end at all. I think Prescott will absolutely love Witten, because with Prescott, he has a lot of trust issues. Well, like with Dez Bryant, right? It wasn't because Dez Bryant was all of a sudden a horrible wide receiver. Dez Bryant just didn't run the routes to – he's freelanced the routes, and Dak Prescott can't trust that. So he's tended to avoid that. What he likes are the players that can run those distinct routes, like Amari Cooper. That's why Amari Cooper is starting to be a stud, because Prescott can trust him to be go from A to B. Witten is the same way. He's going to be able to trust Witten to go from A to B, maybe too slow, but he's going to trust him to get there. And I could see him dumping off a lot of passes to Jason Witten. So as a backup tight end, I'll take him.
So like in a tight end premium, maybe he has some value in a tight end premium league, like a fishbowl or a fishbowl knockoff, like somebody around here runs every year.
And somebody around here won last year.
You need to do like the John Gruden commercial and tap your ring on the table. When you say that.
Oh, there's going to be plenty of ring tapping.
There's plenty of ring tapping. Mike, did you see
Evan, hear it?
Did you see Evan's ring?
No, I didn't.
So my Evan runs this Scott Fishbowl knockoff, and whoever wins, he buys a ring for him, and he won. So he bought himself this like big gaudy ring that he gets to wear around everywhere, his championship ring.
Gaudy-licious.
It's pretty good. So yeah, Jason Witten, maybe in a backup tight end, like Mike said, deeper league. If you're in a PPR league and you need a guy to get you 7 points, could be worse, because he'll probably catch three balls for 40 yards as a baseline every game. So worth a shot, or he's going to retire. And then in which case it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So from Dallas to Pittsburgh, James Washington dropped 15 pounds in the offseason. James Washington he's a sophomore wide receiver now. He was drafted by the Steelers last year. He was kind of, if you remember us talking about him, he's kind of the guy that I said was shaped like a fire hydrant. He looks like a running back out there. He was 223 pounds last year at 5'10". He was a big boy. He's at 5'10", 208. He's already kind of beefy. Those are like prime running back numbers, like Miles Sanders I have up here on a RotoWorld thing. He's 5'11", 211. So it's about the same size. So he's lost some weight, probably going to be better for it this year, because you don't need that much weight at wide receiver at that height. So for this one, gentlemen, my question to you, and Mike, we'll start with you this time. Wide receiver two in Pittsburgh, you think James Washington will take it over, or do you think it's going to be Dante Moncrief? Or is it a third guy that I haven't brought up? Maybe a Darius Heyward-Bey finally gets his due?
Oh, yeah, and don't forget, was it Deontay Johnson, who they drafted late in the draft as well? So, yeah, I think all those guys, I definitely, if I'm going to pick one out of that grouping, it's definitely going to be James Washington, just because of the fact that he's second year coming in and has experience working with Ben Roethlisberger. But I can definitely see a rotation going on. Washington really didn't jump out on the page last year as a rookie. So,
ooh, we're on an island now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's some nice music you got going on there.
Little entertaining music for you guys.
Some hold music, some, you know, some, was that James Washington calling to say, what'd you say about me?
Yeah. What you saying, sucker?
I heard you.
So yeah, I think James Washington is definitely going to be the second receiver out of the gate, but by no means can you trust him holding on to that position.
Okay. Evan, what do you think?
A famous lady once quipped, and I don't remember her name, but I'll look it up. When I have to choose between two evils, I'll take the one I never did before. So I'll go with Deontay.
Oh, that's a nice quote, and that's a nice swerve, because I was trying to figure out if you're going to go with Moncrief or Washington. So Deontay Johnson, 5'11", 181, rookie out of University of Toledo. So what leads you to Deontay Johnson is just the devil you don't know? Is it the mystery box?
May West. Who's I'm picking for wide receiver. No, she said the quote. Yeah, I don't like Fireplug, and Moncrief couldn't get it going with Andrew Luck under center, although he's notorious for not hitting his wide receiver too. So give me the new guy.
The new hotness.
Pittsburgh can scout. They can scout the wide receiver twos.
They can. I mean, they have a long tradition of wide receivers there, like Mike Wallace, Manny Sanders, Antonio Brown, Hines Ward, obviously, Juju. Am I missing anybody? I don't think so.
Fred Swan. Yeah.
Well, I mean, recently, not within the last like 15 years, like under, later Cowher and Tomlin, they have they've just been churning through these wide receivers. They've been like, if they were college, you know, they would be like wide receiver U, because they are.
I don't know who the wide receiver two was, but didn't they have Mike Wallace and Hines Ward on the field at the same time?
I think they might have at the end of Hines Ward's career.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You guys together.
Yeah, so they've always just had like that next guy waiting in the wings. Of course, Mike Wallace poo-pooed their contract, then turned into poo-poo. He was very bad everywhere, but the Steelers. But the second wide receiver is somebody to look out for in Pittsburgh. Personally, I think that James Washington will get more targets, but Dante Moncrief will probably outscore him, just because Dante Moncrief seems to have one of those guys that has a nose for the end zone. He's one of those better in football than in real life. He's a good target for Ben Roethlisberger. So he might have more fantasy points, but be more inconsistent, because he'll have like 2-3 touchdown games out of nowhere, because he's just a touchdown guy, but he'll be not as useful week to week in a PPR, half PPR league. That's what I think. Although I do like Evan punting on my question and going with Deontay Johnson for reasons of being, he hasn't disappointed me yet.
May West gives good fantasy football advice from the grave.
May West and Family Guy. Do you guys watch Family Guy back in the day?
Adam West?
Family Guy?
Yeah, I'm just trying to make a connection, though. I don't remember. So
there's something that I started saying, and Chris Towers at CBS started saying it too, and it's the mystery box. It's, you know, when there's an episode where Peter goes and does a timeshare, and they go, well, you can get the boat, or you can get what's in the mystery box. And Peter says, a boat's a boat, but the mystery box could be anything. It could even be a boat. And it's that whole, you know, allure of the unknown, that's what makes fantasy football fun, is prognosticating and figuring it out. So we'll go with the mystery box approach here and go with Deontay Johnson, or the May West approach if you want to go high culture instead of a cartoon where a baby talks and so does a dog.
I'm going to have an article where I just ask May West questions about fantasy football, and then she replies with one of her quips, and then we make a choice.
There you go. I kind of did that last year with my last tight end piece, where instead of, for my streaming tight ends, instead of offering any sort of analysis, I just put in quotes about futility and trying to fight, with a futile effort. So kind of the same thing, but I like your answering them with quotes. So next news piece up, we'll speed up this section a little bit, is Matt Breda partially tore his pec, He should be back until it's back sometime in training camp, but he's in San Francisco and part of a three-headed backfield with him, Tevin Coleman, and Jerick McKinnon. So, Evan, we'll start with you. 2019, assuming all things are equal, which one of you guys are you going for? Matt Breida, Tevin Coleman, or Jerick McKinnon? And punt is not an option. You have to pick one. Gun to your head, do you have to pick a guy?
I'll take a zero.
You'll take the gun to your head?
Yeah. I guess McKinnon, because he has more carries than Coleman. And Breida's already injured, so that made that one easy.
All right.
Yeah.
Mike, what do you think?
Raheem Mostert.
Part two of this. Raheem Mostert had to have another surgery on his arm that broke that bent in the wrong spot.
He can carry the ball with the other arm.
You carry it with the other arm, but how can you stiff arm? Oh, I guess if you have a cast on, you can really stiff arm.
You can run with the other leg.
All right. My guy for these ones is whichever one's cheapest, which right now is Jerick McKinnon. Whichever one's cheapest and not hurt, which right now is Jerick McKinnon and not Matt Breida. Although I think Tevin Coleman might win the battle of attrition in that whole thing, because Matt Breida can't stay healthy and Jerick McKinnon tore his knee up on the last play of OTA or of training camp last year. So last piece of news, Devonta Freeman, who missed the vast majority last year with various lower body injuries. He is participating in OTAs and he should be a good go in training camp. And that's a good sign because he is an injury-prone dude. So if he's ahead of schedule or on schedule, that's really good news. And my takeaway question to this brings us back to something we did last offseason, which we're bringing back. Pick your poison. So, okay, gentlemen, we have five guys that are currently have ADPs in the fourth round of the in half PPR leagues. Devonta Freeman is among them. We're not going to look at where they're going in that fourth round, because let's say you're taking the first pick in the fourth round. You want to take a running back. Which one of these guys would you take? That's your scenario. That's your speed pop quiz hotshot moment. So we've got going in the fourth round, we got Sony Michel, Philip Lindsay, Kerryon Johnson, Chris Carson, Devonta Freeman. We're looking at a half PPR league. Those guys are all going between pick 37 and 45. So in the fourth round. And Evan, we started with you last time. So Mike, what's your poison here? Who are you picking out of these guys? Who do you think has the, you're on the clock, and you need a running back. Which one of these guys are you taking?
Half PPR, I am going with Philip Lindsay.
Philip Lindsay. Okay. And the reason for that is?
One, he can catch the ball. He didn't get many opportunities in the beginning of the season as a rookie. Of course, you know, he came in as an, I think either seventh round or undrafted, one of those two. And he, you know, they just tested him out. All of a sudden, he's a great stud. And I think as long as he can stay healthy, he's going to continue that trend. And it, as I was saying earlier, the Broncos gave him more and more and more on his plate. So don't look at his total individual statistics for receptions, because as the year went on, so did his targets. And I think that's going to continue into this year. So you got his running ability, his quickness, and the fact that he's going to get a lot more targets out of the backfield. His close second would be Kerryon, but I'm going to go with Philip.
So you're not afraid of Royce Freeman popping up and taking targets away?
Not targets, because Freeman's not a very good pass catcher. I think that they'll use Freeman sparingly. He's definitely going to take away points off of Lindsay's, but the more Lindsay shows himself, the more they're just going to push Freeman behind.
Okay, fair enough. Evan, where would you go in that situation? You're looking at, again, we'll run them down just so people know, Michelle, Lindsay, Kerryon Johnson, Chris Carson, Devonta Freeman. I assume you're going to punt and take a bullet to your head like you did with the guys, right?
Lindsay, yeah. Hands down. How is he going in the
hands
fourth round?
Down. Wow.
People are stupid. You're stupid people who are not picking Philip Lindsay in the third round. I'm calling everyone out. I'll fight all of you. He was the ninth running back last year after missing a bunch of games. And the injury that he missed 4 months for was just a hand injury. So he's going to come back better. Denver's quarterback couldn't be worse than it was last year. And it might be better. Who knows? So they're going to run the ball, but their quarterback's not great, so they're going to run the ball a lot. And Freeman had a great preseason last year and didn't steal touches in the end. Or I guess Lindsay stole all the touches, so I'm not too afraid of him.
Okay, so I guess I'll be the guy who says Devonta Freeman. I've always been a huge Devonta Freeman head. He's topped 1,100. He topped 1,100 yards 2015, 16, 17. 2018 was a huge wash. He's gotten in those 3 years, he had 29 touchdowns on the ground and two receiving. So you're looking at 10 touchdowns a year for 3 years. I'm just going to go with the track record. I'm going to go Devonta Freeman on here in the fourth round. I'm looking for that upside, and I'm going to get pieces of that Atlanta offense as opposed to the Denver offense with Joe Flacco and everybody's hyping a rookie tight end. I'm going to go with the guy in the strong offense who's done it before, who doesn't really have a threat to take any touches. I know you both have poo-pooed Freeman, but I think that he will, not Devonta Freeman, Royce Freeman, but I think that he will take some touches away from Philip Lindsay. And, you know, this could be a, hey, one guy's going to be RB12, one guy's going to be RB11 situation like we had a couple weeks ago. But I'm going to bet on Devonta Freeman in that round. And frankly, I think it's criminal that he's going behind guys like Chris Carson and Kerryon Johnson, because Kerryon Johnson had like a three-game stretch where he did it. I mean, I love the guy. I think that he's great. But you've got Matt Patricia there, who is going to be a disciple of Bill Belichick. You're going to have that Bella chicanery with the running backs there. So I'm going to go Freeman in that situation.
We're just going to ignore the fact that Devonta Freeman's body is like Mike's toenail.
Yes, we are going to ignore that fact, because every running back gets hurt. And before last year, he only missed three games. So he was banged up, but he only missed three games before last year. So I'm gonna bet on Devonta Freeman, and I get it. He's always banged up, but he still produces at a high level while he's banged up. So I'm gonna bet on Freeman there. Whether he's probably better looking than Mike's toe, but
I hope so.
I hope so. So I'm gonna go with Freeman there. Just kind of lean into that, and cut him in week three when he's out for the season. So. That'll work for me. So
what about Ito Smith?
I am not afraid of Ito Smith. I was into Ito Smith and I watched more game tape. I put him down as one of my sleepers, but that dude sucks. I'm sorry, but he's not good. And even if he is good, he's not going to be better than Tevin Coleman. So he's not going to steal more touches than Tevin Coleman did the whole time that Freeman was there, when Freeman was producing. So it's like, yeah, he could lose some touches, but he's always been a part-time back and he's always been really good in that role. So I ain't scared.
He has only missed three games outside of last season. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's wild. It's something that you don't think to be true. Like the whole thing about how, when we were talking about how Sammy Watkins is what, 24? 25?
25.
It's one of those facts that doesn't sound right, but it is. So that's where we stand. Yeah, a lot of guys weirdly young that you don't think about, like Sammy Watkins, who's been around for 12 seasons. He started when he was 13, which no wonder he was always injury prone. I mean, a 13-year-old getting smashed by a 350-pound defensive lineman will kill anybody. So, all right. So that has been a pick your poison. It looks like it's you guys both love Philip Lindsay. You want to kiss him and love him and marry him and hug him and spend the rest of your life with him. And I am a Devonta Freeman fan. So that we'll see how that bears out throughout the year. So that was the first 2019 edition of Pick Your Poison. So Evan, you've prepped a segment where you've got some stats for some players. This is always a fun game where Mike and I have to guess which player you're talking about. And I have my scout's honor. I'm not going to look anything up on Football Reference. Mike, can you raise your right hand and promise not to look anything up?
I promise not to look anything. Oh, wait a minute. That's my left hand. You
could have literally all your fingers crossed and we wouldn't know.
No, you'd know because his fingernails would pop off.
There it goes.
We were just here from the fingernails flying off. So, Evan, I'm going to put you in control. This is, I'm going to get out of the driver's seat. Let me stop the car. Let you get in. You can start it up. Let me put my seatbelt on and go ahead and go.
All right. I got four guys here. I'll give you the weird stat or some. Oh, apparently my son does not like this segment at all, huh? Well, maybe he'll like it when he hears the first one. I only have one stat for this. This person was top 12 in PPR, and this running back was top 12 in PPR in standard, despite only playing in 11 games. Oh, yeah. Who am I? Who am I? Who is me? Who is Grammar?
I'm going to go with, I think he didn't miss this many games, but I'm going to go with James Conner.
I'll give you another stat.
Wait, let Mike guess first.
Oh, sorry.
Lamar Miller.
None of the games this guy missed were due to injury.
Who got suspended last year? I'm going to go with LeGarrette Blount in 2016. Is that correct?
He's on a team with someone else who might get suspended. Or he was on a team that now has someone else that might get suspended.
Oh, Kareem Hunt. No.
Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
Played 11 games, top 12 in PPR and standard.
Kobe, that's one.
One sec, I need to send my kids to their room.
All right, sounds good. While you do parenting, Mike and I, who live that no kid lifestyle, we'll talk a little bit about Kareem
Hunt. They're going upstairs. This will be short.
Okay. Mike, Kareem Hunt with the Browns. What do you think for 2019? He's got an 8-game suspension looming. Is he a guy that you're going to draft and stash, or do you think it's kind of a roster construction issue to have a dead spot for half the season?
I would not touch him until probably maybe not until eighth, ninth round.
Oh, wow. That early, huh? That I wouldn't even touch him there. He's the kind of guy that I'm going to wait till somebody gets frustrated and gets into a roster crunch and drops him. I'm taking a look. Do you remember us talking about the slow draft?
Yeah.
So that's still going, and I think Kareem Hunt just went, and I'm trying to find the draft board. Draft board, here we go. And this is a 12-team league, and Kareem Hunt went in the 11th round. He went after
Tyreek Hill.
He went before Tyreek Hill, and he went after the Bears DST. Who would draft the Bears DST in the 11th round, Evan?
Oh, I did. I didn't like anybody there.
Yeah, that's kind of when you need to.
I drafted a quarterback.
Wow. Yeah, you did. Kirk Cousins, Lamar Jackson back to back in the 12th and 13th round. That's a pretty good call.
Cousins plays in the first 16 weeks of 2019. Cousins will play 11 teams who finished in the bottom half of the league in terms of fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks. And the 5 weeks he doesn't, Lamar Jackson plays four of the teams that finished in the bottom 10 of fantasy points allowed to running quarterbacks. I spent way too much time on this fake draft.
Good God, man. That is a statistic. Oh, my God. Say that. So Kirk Cousins, he plays 11 teams that were in the bottom half, you said?
Yeah. I'm not counting week 17, which is convenient because he plays Chicago that week. So, yeah, he plays 11 teams in the first 16 games. Finished in the bottom half, and a lot of them finished towards the bottom. And yeah, Lamar Jackson, five of those games, he plays four teams that allowed the most points, or the top 10 most points to running quarterback. So it's a nice cheap pairing.
Wow. That, Mike, do you agree? That is a dang stat.
That is something.
That is impressive. I'm very impressed. So go ahead, pat yourself on the back for that one. I'm gobsmacked because I'm going to write that down. Cousins and Jackson
I'm going to get them both for a dollar. It's going to be great.
As a cheap. Yeah. Especially in auction. That's a great pairing because you might get away with both of them for less than $5 combined. Easy.
That's always my goal in auction. Get two of the cheap ones. All right. I'm back. Thank you for bearing with me there.
Yes, sir.
This was a wide receiver. My 130 targets propelled me to a top 12 finish, even though I never caught a pass for 40 yards or more.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
So an unspectacular guy who put up numbers.
I'm going to hot take this.
Every other wide receiver in the top 12 had a 40-yard pass or more.
Except for this guy. I'm looking at the draft board trying to get inspiration.
Antonio Callaway.
That's good, except I don't it's not him.
Chris Godwin. I hope it'll
be him this year.
Chris Godwin, no. Okay.
I finished as wide receiver 11, two spots ahead of my teammate.
Oh, Thielen?
Oh, no, they both finished in the top 10, I believe.
I think I know who it is, but I'll let Mike guess.
Juju Smith-Schuster.
Are you kidding? Juju, all he gets are 40-yard passes.
I know.
Robert Woods.
It is Robert Woods. Good job.
Yeah, my fourth-round pick in our slow draft.
All right, this next one's a quarterback. And we talked about which wide receiver we liked a couple weeks ago, so I'm not gonna dwell on that. This guy's a quarterback. I have one of each position, so I have quarterback and tight end coming up. I was the only top 12 quarterback to not start at least 15 games. Top 12 in terms of total points at the end of the season.
Mike, you want to go first?
Josh Allen.
What do you say, Jeff?
I was going to go with Baker.
My four rushing touchdowns was a career low.
Oh.
Career, so, okay.
Career low. Oh, no.
Russell Wilson.
Cam?
It was Cam.
Woo!
Russell Wilson was a great guess. He did have, I think he had zero rushing touchdowns last year, so he also had a career low.
Wow. So Cam Newton. Cam Newton was top, you said top 12?
Yeah, in total points.
And he missed how many games?
He missed two.
But still, so whoever got him, Waleed got him in the 12th round in this slow draft for a guy who was a starting quarterback in this league last year. That is incredible. I think he's being appreciated there. Mike, what do you think of Cam this year?
I think he's going to be Cam. I don't know. I haven't looked at his recent news, if that's changed at all with his injury. If he's on the right track and everything looks good, then I'm all aboard the Cam train.
Yeah, I really like him. I just, in the slow draft, I was actually planning on getting him, but Baker fell to the end of the sixth round, and I had to pull the trigger on that. That was too good of a value for me. Baker at 6'12 was Trey Magnifique for me. So
Baker's going to be good.
He's going to be good, and he better be, because I broke my don't draft a quarterback early rule, because sixth round is early for me. So
you got to wait until after your defense.
Yeah. That's the Evan way.
Pick one out of the FA.
So what you're saying is draft a defense in the fifth round so I can take Baker in the sixth round.
There you go.
I followed your rule. All right.
Last one's a tight end.
Austin Hooper.
I love Austin Hooper, though. I caught six touchdowns, which was fourth among tight ends, but my 289 receiving yards ranked me 31st among tight ends.
Oh, my God.
Trey Burton.
That's what I was going to guess.
My teammate is currently going as a top five tight end.
Oh, Cam Brate.
It is Cam Brate. Good job. Ooh. Cam Brate on Tampa Bay. He caught a touchdown every five targets.
So is that sustainable? So if he gets 100 targets, that's 20 touchdowns. You think he'll pull that off? Mike, do you think he'll pull that off?
He has to be on Kyle Murray's team.
Yeah. It's going to be all OJ Howard.
Yeah, I think Evan's right. If he's on Kyler Murray dropping back 800 times, he might get 20 touchdowns. I think that'll work out well together. So, all right. Well, Evan, thank you. That was a lot of fun. Those were some good questions. I appreciate those. I appreciate you. And Mike, I appreciate you. This is the day of appreciation, gentlemen. Sorry, my wife brought me some viognier, so I'm feeling pretty good. This podcast is being brought to you by some nice white wine from Murphy's, California. So the main bulk of today's episode is going to be taken up. It's already been taken up, but we're going to take up the rest of it with some running back helium candidates, which helium is a term that I use all the time that I learned today. Not everybody spends as much time as on fantasy football Twitter as I do. So
yeah, helium. Yeah, I use it daily.
So yeah, Mike told me to get off his lawn.
The gas, use it daily. You gotta get off the junk, man.
This is where if I had any sort of technical skill at all, I would make us all sound like chipmunks right now while we talk about the helium, but I have no idea how to do that, so I'm not gonna. So what helium is guys who basically attach some lighter than air balloons to them and they rise up the ranks. Basically guys who between now and draft season guys who we think are gonna have some huge lifts in their average draft position. So the average draft position that we looked at that I sent out, if everybody listened to my instructions, was Fantasy Pros half PPR scoring. It's a consensus of three sources, which are Fantasy Football Calculator, Fantrax, and Yahoo Sports right now. Since it's early in the season, not everybody has their draft rooms open. So, gentlemen, whichever one of you would like to start first, the other one can go first.
Mike should go first because I wrote down five just in case there's overlap.
Oh, perfect. So we each are going to pick a couple and go over them. So five is wonderful, Evan. Thank you. You get the official gold star for today's episode. So congratulations.
I get a pat on the back and a gold star.
That's correct. You get both. So Mike, who is the first guy you think is going to get the most rise between now and draft season, official draft season, out of the running backs?
My number one guy, and they're my number one guy. Harken back to the original Batman, if you know.
Yeah.
Deonta Foreman.
Oh, Deonta Foreman, running back out of Houston. So what is going to attach those balloons to Mr. Foreman?
So a couple things. Houston, no matter what Lamar Miller does, Houston doesn't care. He's sort of like the Mark Ingram as a Saint. You know, you're a great guy. You can run the ball. You can do good things, but we just don't like you. So I think they're really looking to replace him. Unfortunately, Foreman tore his ACL in his rookie season, which automatically hampered him from 2018. So now he's 2 years removed from that ACL injury. And it just seems like whenever he's been on the field, he's just done a great job. As we can remember, when he tore his ACL, that was like on a 45-yard touchdown run. If he can stay healthy, I can see him sort of just moving up the ranks. And Houston's probably going to be talking a lot about how great he's doing in camp. I was doing this and that and all this coach speak and everything else. So he's definitely going to get the gravitation. And with that said, I think that he'll sooner or later take over Lamar Miller and just go from there.
Okay. Personally, I disagree. I don't trust that Achilles tear just because it'll be the first guy that comes back from it.
Ooh, sorry. Go.
But I was going to say, Mike, I know a lot of people who think just like you. So that's perfect because that is the, what gives him helium is people having that optimism.
I got a fantasy football team name.
What's that?
Dantas Informino. Or Dantas Informo.
Oh, Dantas Informo. Okay. That I get.
Dantas Inferno. You know, I ran both of them by my wife and she said the second one. Mm-hmm. But she has a degree in English, so she's probably always thinking about Dante's Inferno. Dante's Inferno.
You're telling me she went to college for 4 years to learn a language that she already spoke?
Pretty much. She went to college for 4 years, just all of them pre-law.
My wife is in my office right now. She made a face at me when I said that. His wife took English. It's a joke. All right. Deonta Foreman is Mike's guy. Evan, who is your guy that you think is going to get a lot of helium?
I like – oh, you know what?
I learned extra words.
Oh. Your wife knows secret words they only teach you in college?
Yeah, and I don't understand them. Okay. They're all law words. You know what? Just to start some beef with Mike, I'm gonna go with Lamar Miller,
who I originally referred
to as Lamar Millar. Five straight years, he's had over 1,000 total yards, rushing, receiving, and six touchdowns. And Houston didn't draft anybody. Foreman's good, but they seem to just like Miller plodding along every game for 70 points. I'll take that in a flex. Come at me, Mike.
Dante Foreman.
He's he does got make you. A better fantasy team name. He's Lamar Millar is not that good.
Well, it was Lady Lamar Millerade, I think it was. That was Yeah, that's a good team name.
Lady Lamar Millard or whatever. Well,
luckily, you guys
we have Marmalade, then we have Poundington Bear. So that's a lot.
That opens up a whole new world of options. So Donta Freeman, Lamar Miller, or Paddington Bear, what do you guys think who should go first? I think if it's in a point per, you know, sweet rain hat league, I think Paddington Bear should go first.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I want to say I'll take Foreman for a dollar over Lamar Millar for like the 25-30 he's gonna go for.
So yeah, that's the thing about Lamar Miller, and I've been kind of on the Lamar Miller train because I mean, the last 4 or 5 years, like the end of Frank Gore's time with San Francisco and with the Colts, he was kind of this unsexy guy that would fall down draft boards. He was always a value pick, and he always finished as like running back, like 16 or 17. And he's going like running back 20. Lamar Miller is kind of like the poor man's version of that, because he's been a running back two each of the last 5 years, but he's going way outside that range. So I've been kind of pounding that table, but I fully understand wanting to get Deonta Foreman at that value. So we got Lady Lamar Millard versus Deontay's Informino. I'm not as good at these as you are, Evan. I can't even say them. But my guy for running back helium candidate is I'm going to go with the guy that I think is going to get probably the most helium, and that is David Montgomery, rookie with the Bears. Right now he's running back 50, going 161 overall. Reason I think is he's getting a lot of helium is that a lot of guys look at the situation last year with Jordan Howard. We all agree Jordan Howard was kind of a bust last year, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Tariq Cohen had all the buzz, and he was a top 20 running back when all is said and done. So you'll get a lot of guys who right now will put David Montgomery on their sleeper lists where, hey, Jordan Howard, you thought he sucked last year, and he did suck, but look how many fantasy points he scored. And now it's Tariq Cohen and Mike Davis in front of him. And so everything will fall apart in front of him, or, you know, Tariq Cohen can't handle the full workload. Mike Davis sucks. And so what will happen
is Davis is the worst.
He is the worst. He
does give puppies.
That's the official position of Football Absurdity, is Mike Davis is the second worst, only surpassed by Christine Michael, or Kristen Michael, however you say it. He is the actual worst. So David Montgomery, he's going to be the kind of guy where you get one fantasy guy, like right now, Adam Rank is big on David Montgomery. So Adam Rank will post about David Montgomery, and then he'll become a guy. But then say somebody from another outlet will become a guy, and it'll build and it'll build and it'll build. And this guy that's going as RB 50 right now is going to go as RB like 24 when all is said and done, because he's just going to keep getting that buzz, that helium, that buzz. And so fantasy guys will want to be the David Montgomery guy. And so they will keep moving him up their ranks, and then it'll become an arms race for David Montgomery. Well, all of a sudden he is, you know, a top 24 running back for no real reason. So that's my guy. I think he'll get way too much helium this year, is David Montgomery. I think he'll buzz up the ranks. Whether it's deserved or not is yet to be seen. I think it might be deserved, but I think he's going to be a guy that'll end up in the top 24 for no reason other than buzz.
Yep. I think people just haven't studied up.
Yeah, that's possible. Or Mike, what do you think about David Montgomery?
It's kind of hard, because if you look at the way the Bears use Jordan Howard, who is, you know, a talented running back, who's to say that David Montgomery is going to do any better? And I think it's just the Tariq Cohen show. So being a rookie, I can definitely see especially during the preseason, if he scores a couple touchdowns or does a couple good things, everybody's going to be jumping on that bandwagon. And I think a lot of that is where the healing is going to come from.
Yeah, plus he's the kind of guy that he's the kind of they're the week two of the preseason superstars, like the Amir Abdullahs, where he'll pop a long run because he's playing against, you know, future used car salesmen, and he's just athletically better than them, and so he'll get that preseason bump. You're right. Yeah, he'll have some sort of play that'll get people moving them up their draft boards. So next one up, we'll go back to you, Mike. Who is your second helium candidate for the 2019 fantasy football draft? Fantasy draft.
I've gone back and forth with this, and I sort of like a couple Seattle guys, and I also like a couple of Saint guys, but I think I'm going to go with Seattle and go with Rashard Penny, who at this point is the 33rd back off the list. So they have him way down.
Yeah.
And then if just looking at, he had a slow start, you know, he lost the job and didn't really to Carson and didn't really perform as to expectations as many had for him coming into the NFL, but he's only a rookie. And he did turn things around. For instance, in the 12 games that he played, he rushed 85 times for 419 yards. Well, that comes out to be almost 5 yards a carry.
Wow.
And that was in the top 12 of all running backs. So it's just, I think, just those stats alone. And then how much can we trust Chris Carson? He's injured. He got injured just recently. Nothing serious, but it was an injury. And I could just see all these nicks and bruises coming along with Chris Carson. And therefore, I'm really pretty high on Penny, especially being his second year and in having, you know, if he can show good stuff, more people will start climbing back on to the bandwagon as they did when he was a rookie.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great option. Chris Carson does have a very, 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 very violent running style that gets him nicked up. So even if he doesn't start, you know, Chris Carson's a candidate to get hurt on his first run in preseason. So it's like, yeah, that'll definitely give Rashard Penny some helium. Evan, what do you think about that one?
It's hard for me to like Seattle because I live near Seattle, so I have to listen to Seattle media and put up with Seattle fans, and they're not fun. So I'm inherently biased and unable to give a comment because everything sucks because everyone loves them so much. Chris Carson's going to have the best year ever. He's not made of glass at all.
Well, as a 49ers fan, I can say I can have an unbiased opinion about the Seattle Seahawks, and they're all going to die. There's going to be a meteor that hits the clink. And then nobody will miss a single player.
I can't wait for Seattle to get a hockey team, and I'm all in.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. Are they going
to happen? It's supposed to happen in like 2021.
Are they going to play at Key Arena or get a new one?
They'll just flood the clink.
They'll just flood the clink
in winter.
Well, that would be pretty cool. I would definitely go up to Seattle to see that. So I think Rashard Penny's a great choice. I think he's sort of that like post-type sleeper kind of deal because everybody got hyped on him last year because he was a first-round pick and then a seventh-round pick, and Chris Carson kind of stole the show. So, Evan, who is your second guy for this illustrious title of highest helium?
Well, you know, a lot of us have had that girlfriend.
What's that?
We just can't admit that she's cheating, even though all the signs are there. You know, she's staying out late and coming home with messed up hair. She's randomly accusing you of cheating for no reason. She didn't get any carries in the Super Bowl. And we just can't believe it because we didn't see it happen. That's Todd Gurley. That's no. Todd Gurley. We have not seen him. All the signs are there that his knee aged 65 years in one game. He's got arthritis that's coming out now. He didn't get carries in the biggest game of the season. That dude's all but done for. And Daryl Henderson, his backup, is going, I'm scrolling down. It's 66th overall. Ooh. 218. I don't even know if that's a round. Let's see, 15 times 12 is 180. That's not even going in most 12-team, 15-round drafts.
That's not even a number. 218, yeah. That's not even a number.
It's not even real. It's too big. There's never been 218 of anything.
Yeah.
That old fat cow had left. What's his name? Apologies to his family. Who was the guy that was backing up Gurley?
What'd you say, Mike? We lost you there.
CJ Anderson?
Yes.
Yeah, fatty boom baladdy.
He's gone. So I think Henderson's worth a flyer in the 15th round of every draft or $1 player. I don't think he's going to be going for a dollar come when we see the preseason and Gurley's nowhere to be found. And they're not going to play Gurley in the preseason, so it's going to fuel
not a chance,
the rumors. Yeah, it's just going to be yet another sign that he's done for.
That's a great call. I actually took Daryl Henderson in the 11th round of the slow draft that we're working on, back-to-back with Mecole Hardman at KC. Mike, what do you think of that?
Oh, you're betting on disaster.
I am betting on disaster. Chaos reigns, baby. Mike, what do you think of that selection, the Daryl Henderson, and how do you feel about Todd Gurley too? We kind of touched on that with Waleed, but how do you feel about Todd Gurley this season?
Yeah, I'm staying away from Todd Gurley. He won't be on my team, and unless he somehow dropped down into the second round, like 15th or something. But I think Henderson's a great pick because you could just pick him with the last, as far as right now, you could pick him with the last pick of the draft if you so choose. And if Gurley goes down, we saw what like all the other Rams running backs did when Gurley was out. CJ Anderson came in after not being wanted by the Raiders of all things and came in and it exploded. And I forget who it was before him that came in also and played well when Gurley was down. So obviously, they got a great offensive line that can push and have great running. So, yeah, I'd be all out over that.
excuse me. I swallowed my throat there. Yeah, I mean, Daryl Henderson, that's a guy who's definitely a candidate to have his ADP go up, especially Evan, you're right. There's not a chance that Todd Gurley is going to play in the preseason. I hadn't even thought about that. And that's only going to fuel speculation, which will, again, like I said with David Montgomery, it's going to have guys just jostling and jockeying to get to the front of the line. So I think that's a wonderful pick with Daryl Henderson there going in the double-digit rounds now. But, I mean, where do you guys see him ending up? Like maybe round 7 or 8?
Yeah. When did you take him? Round 11?
Yeah, I got him in 11 in the slow draft.
Round 8. Round 8. After you filled out your wide receivers and your running backs and then taking a flyer on somebody who fell and you're like, I don't want a quarterback now or a tight end.
Yeah, sort of a stash guy. Mike, what do you think?
I'd have to look at the other handcuffs off my head. I don't have a list in front of me, but I definitely think he's one of the top handcuffs that's going to be made, and usually you see those handcuffs start going off the board around the 7th, 8th, or 9th round, and so that makes sense to me.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that's some huge helium. That if he's going, you know, I feel like I kind of reached on him in the 11th round as a statement, but I could definitely see out of necessity he could end up in the, you know, in the maybe even the first half of the draft. So that's pretty crazy. So my second guy, we touched on him earlier when we were talking about how Matt Breida got hurt, but it's Jerick McKinnon. His ADP is shocking to me given where he was last year and that he's had a full 365 days to recover by the time the fantasy season comes around again. Jerick McKinnon, he's going as running back 34, and that's number 80 overall. And I think that'll really, really jump up into the top 25, say, by the time all things are said and done, because I think this Breda Peck thing is gonna, it's going to linger, and it's going to last, and it's not going to be something that is just going to go away, and it's going to give fantasy owners pause on Breda, and it's going to bump up both Coleman and Jerick McKinnon, because if it's a two-headed backfield, both of those guys can end up top 25, top 30. So it'll give both of their draft a lot of helium. It'll bump them up. And this is kind of a higher end guy, but 80th overall is going in the seventh round. So it does kind of fit that mold of like a mid to late round guy. I just think that comparatively, like proportionally, I think he'll get a huge bump because he could go from 34 to like 25 really easily. Because last year, I thought it was insane, but last year he was a borderline running back one. That's where he was getting drafted. He was entering like the second round. A lot of that had to do with Jamie Eisenberg of CBS. He was really pounding the drum for Jerick McKinnon. But I mean, ACL tears aren't what they used to be. They are recoverable. So you'll have a lot of people getting a lot of hype going about McKinnon. So I think that it'll just be one of those guys that really gains a lot of helium going into 2019.
Jerick McKinnon sucks. He couldn't steal the job from Latavius Murray.
Wow. You already got my hot take that Latavius Murray is going to be a top 12 running back, right? I already said that.
He's on my helium list. I didn't get to him, but yeah, he's on my helium list. I put my grandma in New Orleans and she'll be on my list.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that has more to do with the New Orleans offense than it has to do with Latavius Murray. But, yeah, to the point about Jerick McKinnon, not Latavius Murray, I don't think he sucks, gentlemen. And that has 100% to do with the fact that he is eventually, apparently, going to wear the jersey for my San Francisco 49ers.
I've had my heart broken by him way too many times. Every year, he was the flyer that was going to break out because he's a physical beast. I know more. I don't know why all my metaphors are about cheating, heartbreaking girlfriends today. I'm happily married. I don't know what's going on there, but
yeah. Do you need to talk, bud? You doing okay?
Everything's cool. What did you say, Addy?
Yeah, everything's about
my wife's like, what are you talking about in there?
About those ladies and about how you can't trust them. Am I right, fellas? Am I right, fellas?
I just
absolutely. My wife's not here, so I
agree
with you.
I'm leaving you for Jerick McKinnon.
The last 30 seconds Jerick of this McKinnon. Podcast have been brought to you by Barstool Sports. all right, guys, you have some extra helium candidates, so we can just clear the board. I know, Evan, you have some extras.
Yeah, I like Murray because on New Orleans, Ballage.
That's a good
Drake,
one.
Caleb. I think Kenyon Drake might get used sparingly in the preseason. I had him last year on a lot of teams, and he didn't gain a lot of north-south yards. He'll break him out, and he'll catch a long pass, but I think they're looking, especially in the last three games, Ballage got double-digit carries twice. I think they might be looking to Ballage for their first and second downs in Miami.
That's not a bad call. And who was the other guy you said?
I had Latavius Murray.
Oh, like Latavius. Okay, yeah. Latavius, I think, is going to – when people come around to – when you get people honestly looking at 2019 and trends and patterns for teams, you get something will emerge for how he will be used and what the fantasy points will come out to be, and then he'll get a huge bump. But, yeah, he's big on my board right now is Latavius. Mike, you got any extras? Do you have any other guys you just had to talk about?
The one guy that I was thinking about too was Alexander Mattison out of Minnesota. The reason being is he's with Dalvin Cook and his injury history, the way Mattison runs, he's just a tough grinder. I could totally see a good handcuff situation developing out of that.
Yeah, that's good. That's Evan, Waleed, and I had a conversation about Dalvin Cook, and my thing was that he was extremely injury prone, and I didn't trust him. And one of the things that I think that we don't do enough as a fantasy community is say, okay, so I believe this, then what? So that's perfect. That's like, hey, if you think Dalvin Cook's going to get hurt, you need to go get his backup. That's a great idea. And that's the kind of thing that wins you fantasy titles is that next step of, okay, so you think X, so the ramification is Y. And does that mean you're going to do Z? So I think that's a really good call, Mike. I really like that. And if only you had put it in your top two, I wouldn't have to cut it out of the episode because I'm just going to cut all this out of the episode. If only. My last guy is Miles Sanders. He's running back 45 right now, number 127 overall. The general rule is to not trust coach speak, but that's like, hey, this guy's doing great. This guy's in the best shape of his life. We're going to get this guy. Like, I think one of the Joneses down in Dallas said they were going to get Tavon Austin like 20 touches a game or something crazy like that. That's the kind of stuff you don't trust. But the guys in Philadelphia said, hey, we've been waiting to find a back that we could take in the second round for a long time. We're really happy with this back. And I kind of think, you know, Miles Sanders, if you take all the flotsam and jetsam in Philadelphia, jam them together into one guy, that guy being Miles Sanders, I think he'll be a valuable commodity. And I think people are going to wake up to that inevitability, that fact. So he's going running back 45 right now. I mean, that guy's easily going to go top 30 to 35 before it's all said and done. So that was the extra guy that I prepped for this segment.
I like him.
He plays for Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And my notes for
him. Sorry, I stepped on Mike there, and I'm stepping on Jeff. I'm doing
Mike.
Good job.
What were you saying, Mike?
I was just saying that I like him a lot. I think he's going to be the healthy alternative to Jay Ajayi.
Oh yeah, I think that's what they wanted for Jay Ajayi, but he fell apart. He died. My notes for Miles Sanders because he was at Penn State, so he backed up Saquon Barkley in 2017. My notes for him was desperately wants to be Saquon Barkley, but is not as good. So there's that gives you an idea of how he runs and stuff is, he desperately wants to be Saquon Barkley, which honestly, even if you're not Saquon Barkley, if you have that, if you remind somebody of Saquon Barkley, that's a very good thing. Even if you're not as good as him, that's still, you know, top 15 potential. So, all right, gentlemen, that's everything I have on the list. Do you guys have anything you need, any pressing fantasy football matters to talk about?
No May pressing fantasy football matters, no.
There's literally no pressing fantasy football matter in May, no matter how much anybody wants to tell you there are. Unless, Mike, do you have a pressing fantasy football matter, in which case it's the most important?
Well, he's not going to speak up after that.
Yeah.
I wonder if I can be a barefoot kicker.
A barefoot kicker. Is there a story behind that I didn't see?
No, I just got extra strength in my big toe. So I think I can.
Yeah, I was just going to say you could be a barefoot kicker for like one kick and then all your toenails will fall off. Unless you're an ambidextrous kicker, in which case you could kick twice and then all your toenails will fall off.
Yeah, I think I'll call it a career.
All right. So this has been the Football Absurdity Podcast. You can check us out on iTunes or Apple Music or anything that uses that database. We're Football Absurdity. The website is footballabsurdity.com. The Twitter account is fballabsurdity. Right now we're going through rookie roundups, a couple of your sleeper sucks type deals that I'm working on, that we're working on the website. But yeah, the gist of the website is a little humor, a little fantasy football. Because it's just a game. You don't have to be so serious about it. We just want to have fun. So until next time, this has been Jeff for Mike and Evan. Thanks for listening, everybody. You guys have a good evening and take care.
Bye. Don't wanna talk about it.